gets through their greetings, I'll begin. What's that? Oh, it's right here, right in front of me. I'm hearing it. It's good. Okay, let me open with prayer, and then we'll begin our worship and music. Father, we just thank you and praise you that we have the wonderful blessing of being able to come boldly into your presence, that you are a God and a Father for us, and that we're part of your eternal family, guaranteeing our blessed future, one day to be with you and not have to experience the problems like we have here. But in the meantime, Jesus, you're our eternal high priest, and you intercede for us and give us the strength we need through your Holy Spirit. And we just seek you to fill us and to give us the guidance we need in this life and empower us to be able to fulfill your purpose for us. So as we come to worship you here this morning, we just ask you to anoint our time together and fill our hearts so that we may continue to be the kind of people you want us to be. Give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.
Good morning, Chancellor Church. How are you guys today?
Good morning.
All right, let me get some more voice here. I've got nothing here. All right.
Microphone on.
One, two. There it is. Amen. Even though there's not many, right? Bible says one, only one is... Two or three are gathered in his name.
Two or three.
That's right, two or three. So I think we got a little more than two or three, right?
Yeah, we did.
God is here, right?
Amen.
And where else is God? Where is the temple of God? In you. So whether we're all together or not, God is still with us. Amen? Thank God. I believe in one salvation, one door that leads to life. One confession, I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe in the crucifixion, by his blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection, hallelujah, his life is set free. All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name, I believe. I believe, I believe. Of heaven, he's preparing a place for me, far beyond my heart's compassion, ears have heard or eyes have seen. I believe that a day is coming, he's returning to claim his bride. Light the altar, keep it burning, see the lamb, he rose the glory lion. All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is, evermore will be. Jesus' mighty name, I believe. Ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? No, I'll never be ashamed from the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? No, I'll never be ashamed from the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is, evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise to Christ the Son, all praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome the King who was and is, evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name, I believe. All praise to God the Father, all praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is, evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name, I believe. In Jesus' mighty name, I believe. I believe, I believe. I believe, I believe. Hallelujah. Do you believe?
Yes.
Amen. You shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other, our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other, our God is healer, awesome in power. Is for us, and who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, who could ever stand? If our God is for us, and who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then who could stand again? What could stand? Stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is. is healer, awesome in power, our God. Is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then who could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then who could stand against? What could stand against? God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God, our God. Our God is stronger. He's healing. And there is no other God that anybody could imagine or even make up, which a lot of people have made up a lot of gods, right? Nobody is greater than God. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I got a scripture I wanted to share with you. Because we're doing Battle of Belongs to the Lord. Because everything all fits, because our God is our God. And he's a powerful God, right? Now, think about it. I'm going to go to 2 Kings. Here it is. 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was great and troubled by this. He called his servants and said, will you not show me which of you, which is, hold on, maybe I'm running. Where is it? All right, here it is. And one of his servants said, no, my lord, O king of Elisha. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Got to love that, right? Because you got to remember, he was trying constantly going against Israel. And every time he went against Israel, they already knew about it. So he was like flipping out. What? How can these people know this? So anyway, then it's Elijah. It's not God, but it's Elijah, right? Therefore, he goes, go and see where he is, that he may sin, that I may sin and get him. And it was told to him, saying, surely he's in Dothan. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early, that's Elisha's servant, went out, he saw an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said to him, alas, my master, what are we going to do? Does that feel like you? Do you feel like that every now and then? What am I going to do, God? I got this surrounding army that's around coming against me. How many times have you felt like that? But you forget. Then Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes, right? So he may see. Then the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. This is our God. This is the same God that did that. And you know, and with just, think about it, just with one angel, God slew 500,000 people. One, do you think you serve a small God? But that wasn't during this time. This is another story. Sorry. But I'm just making a comparison. How small do you think your God is? That's why I say the battle belongs not to you. The battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Sorry, I didn't mean to start preaching, but.
we forget how big our God is. Amen. All I see is the battle. You see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain move. As I walk through the shadows, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. If you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. And all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see a victory. So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You stand in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You stand in the shadows, you win every battle. Oh, stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. In every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. In every fear I lay at your feet, I sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. 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 The battle belongs to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just lay all my problems and all my battles to you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, because you are the victorious one. Hallelujah. there is none like you. All of my day, and I want to praise the wonders of your might. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath and all that I am never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the sea shall roar. The sound of the works of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. The one that I praise. Let every day when I walk in your way, my life pours out your glory and grace. Your kingdom, your glory, working your love in me. Let my life be in service to thee. Faithful is your joy and peace. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas shall roar at the sound of your name. Sing for joy at the works of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the sea shall roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Let's worship the Lord. When we sing this song, just picture yourself at the throne with Jesus, with God, bowing before, worshiping, throwing your crowns before Him, because that's where it is. Because we don't own a crown. Jesus, He wears a crown. Amen.
For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Holy, holy,
are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb.
Well, we have additional excitement here this morning, and I just want to praise God because Tom Britt's here, and so he's going to be sharing some things later. But anyway, I'll be right back. I have a scripture I want to read.
Got distracted. One of the things you'll notice is we're fairly informal, so,
and we want the Spirit of God to lead us, so if he wants to interrupt us, we want him to do that. I like to share this scripture because, you know, baptism has become kind of a controversial thing in Christianity, and unfortunately divisive. But we're not here for that purpose. We're here simply to understand what God is teaching us through baptism. And one of the great scriptures is when Paul wrote this to the Romans. He said, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase?" The reason he asked that question is because until you read chapter 5, you don't really understand it well. But in chapter 5, he shows how Adam brought in sin and Jesus brought salvation. So that's what he's talking about here. But because God extends us our grace, he's asking the question, should we just keep on sinning? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. What I think is so wonderful about that scripture is the fact that it teaches us that when we do this, we are participating with Jesus in what he did in order to give us our salvation, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So we're dying to sin, being buried with Jesus in the water and coming up to live a new life. So that's what we're doing here this morning. So anyway, the one that is going to come right now and share a testimony is Lydia, and she's the one that asked for this, and we're thrilled with it. So Lydia, you can come on up.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Mom. So I don't know if everybody knows this or not, but on the 22nd, I was in an almost fatal car accident. It was pretty bad. The EMT said if the boy didn't swerve the way he did and he would have hit my driver's side, I would have died on impact. I wasn't wearing my seatbelt, and they said I would have either flown through the window or I just would have died sitting in the driver's seat. That woke me up pretty a lot because I told myself I'm not living for God how I should be living for Him. And I wanted to change my life, and I want to start living how I should live in God. And my second question to God was, why do I keep going through failed relationships? And one of the reasons He told me was the relationships that I was in, they were both atheists, and I can't be in an unevenly yoked relationship with an atheist when Amen. I'm a Christian. The second reason was He said that that my love, my heart is not focused on Him. It was focused on worldly things, and it wasn't focused on the scriptures and worship. And that also woke me up because it's true. I was more focused on going out with my friends, drinking, doing whatever, you know, we do at this age. And I completely want to change my whole life for God.
Hallelujah. All right, come on. We'll get you. You can just lay those right here if you want. That'll be good. I'll help you up so you fall. And just step over in there. And you're going to go forward and sit down.
One day, a plain village woman.
All right. Do you have my mic on? Can you hear me out there? Okay, good. Lydia, based on your confession, we're now baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know what? I forgot. I'm going to just hold it. I usually have a handkerchief here. All right. I don't want you to breathe water in your nose. Okay. Buried with Jesus in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. All right. Give her that. You can give her that there and then the towel if she wants it, whatever you want to do. Whoops. Make sure you don't fall here. Yeah, not paying attention. All right, go ahead with the song. That's good.
Like a spirit released from the shackles. Like a spirit set free from the tomb.
Yeah, Tom, His own perfect Son.
not here to show me the love of the Father. And just for love, it was done. And though you were perfect and holy, oh, you gave up yourself willingly. Oh, you spared no expense for
That song is 9 minutes long, so we're going to interrupt it there. Great song, though. You can listen to it on your own to finish it if you want. Craig had to go get pills for Tom, I just found out. And is Tom out there? Did he? Okay, all right. Well, we'll have him come. Maybe you can have him come up when we're ready to share. He can come in any time. I'm not prepared with anything to say about our time together, but this is an opportunity for us to be able to pray for one another. Also, to be able to share whatever the Spirit lays on your heart. It's open for that kind of thing. We ask that you hold whatever sermon you might have to 5 minutes so that others can share. Anyway, it's an opportunity for us to be able to praise God, to come together to worship. One of the reasons that I was moved to make this a part of our worship is because if you read 1 Corinthians 14, one of the problems the Corinthians had is they came together and people were getting out of control. So he showed them how they needed to do it, and it is to be done decently and in order. But at the same time, we are all part of God's family. And while I come up here and preach a sermon, I'm not the only one the Lord speaks to, and we don't want that to be the case. I'm not the Pope. I'm here just simply to serve. Yeah, there is really only one Pope, and that's Jesus. And we want him to be our head and to lead us. So having said that, I'm going to open it up for any sharing that you might have here this morning. And then we'll close whenever everyone has shared.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
There's a storm out over the ocean, and it's moving this whole way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. Drift away, Lord, drift away. You will surely drift away. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away.
Praise God, I'm here. I'm not supposed to be here, by the way, Rocky. So it's been a long road. I'm still trying to travel it. So, of course, being forgetful as I am, I walked off and left my pills there. So I start freaking out. You know, it's Parkinson's pills. I have a problem with it. Her records, medical records, say it was January the 9th. 2009. Judy and I were in the bird place in the Central Park looking for bird feeders. She used to hate birds, by the way, but now she knows them. So we had some beautiful orioles and cardinals in our backyard waiting to be fed. She suddenly raced to the ladies' room, came out after a few minutes and said, thank you, better? Okay. And said, we need to go to the hospital now. I have diarrhea and there's a lot of blood. And said, please take me. We took off, stopped at a gas station, more bleeding, then to the ER, and he took her right away. The ER doctor took her vitals, stopped the bleeding, took her vitals again, sent her to the coronary care unit on the third floor. Now, that's the same unit I was in the hospital there on the third floor. I overheard the nurse say, C. diff. CD, I have no idea what C. diff was, but she knew it was pretty bad. To take them off, long story short, the diarrhea was C. diff, and it was had to be treated immediately. But her potassium level was down to 0.91, and so they called the church for my, and some people came over and prayed with us. And I was up there all night with her, and I had to empty about 5 bedpans. But, you know, God's grace showing through all that. Amen. And brought her through it. She's had, by the way, 6 surgeries, so she's had more surgeries than I have. And it's taken its toll on her, I know. But, you know, in spite of what the devil would have us believe, you know, we can resist him.
Yes.
And the way to resist him is not by necessarily reciting scripture, which is good, but by your actions. And so this is the 14th day, I think, since I've been in the hospital, 14. But I was in bed for 14 days because if you're classified as a fall risk, they can't do anything. You know, a friend of mine's wife called me, and I said, well, look, she said, I think I need to go to the ER about this. So don't go to the ER unless you have to, and don't tell them you fall because of the put you in fall risk category, and you won't be able to get out of bed. So I wasn't able to get out of bed for 10 days. 7 days in the hospital and 3 days over at the rehab center. Now I'm in rehab, and I'm trying to get my potassium. It's good, but my blood pressure is bad. It goes from 190 down to 41, and that's what caused me to fall when I went in the first place, is getting up and then falling. Second time, the first time I was on the bed, the second time was on the floor. And so that's what's causing this. So I'm still having that problem right now. Plus I have Parkinson's disease. I'm trying to fight that off. But one good thing, when I went in to get my bladder scan, the doctor said there was no cancer. And that cost me about 8 days of chemo. And I had a reaction to the chemo, of course. I have a reaction to everything. And so they had to take me back for that and go back in for that. Gave me some medicine to cure me, so I don't have that anymore. And my daughter tells me, you know, the reason why you had that was you had a colonoscopy the same day you had the cystoscopy. And then the next day you had the thing you put down your throat. What do you call that thing? So anyway, I wanted to come up here and just say, you know, don't give up on God. God's not giving up on me. He's not going to give up on you. Angela's not here. I don't think she. I talked to her last couple of days ago too, and told her. But she told me my story. I heard it on Facebook. But we just have to trust God, you know, and just hang in there, keep fighting away. He's the only one. By the way, not the doctors. He's the one who knows our time when our time is up.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Gentlemen,
Church.
Church. Well, I didn't out for a while. You know that. And I had swollen knees. Well, I had to stay home for a while to, you know, help and chat about the doctor and everything. And now I sleep in a recliner to help the swelling to go down. And I am thankful for the Lord for helping me to get on the right path again and lose weight. And it feels different, you know, having the swelling, you know. Sometimes I have to be careful what I do, even at the day support building. Well, I'm happy to be back here where I have good friends and good company. Yeah, Pastor Mark came over last Sunday, I believe, and talked to me, and so was seeing, I should say, how bad my legs were. But right now, I'm here, and I'm happy to be here. Because, you know, God brought me here for a reason, and He wants me to stay here all the time.
Praise God.
Mm.
Thank you, Charles.
You're welcome, sir.
I'm just going to add that Charles has been a blessing, and we praise God for him and what God does through him. Obviously, none of us are perfect. We don't get our perfect body until we go see Jesus. But in the meantime, Jesus continues to empower us so that we can accomplish whatever his purpose is in our life. And we just need to seek that. And the biggest thing, the biggest problem we can get into is when we're wanting to compare ourselves to somebody else. And that is not good. And that's not what we ought to do. We want to just keep our focus on Jesus, and He will sustain us in whatever we need to do. All right, anything else? You can come on up. You know, all of you come at once. I'm kidding. I will also mention, continue to lift up my wife, Janet. She struggles every night trying to sleep. And then, of course, she has this fairly severe muscle movement disorder that gives her a lot of pain and then developed arthritis through the years. Been dealing with it for over 35 years, so we just continue to seek the Lord. But one of the things, and I'll be sharing this in my message later, one of the things that we realize is that God is able to do more through that than He would otherwise. Because when we depend on Him, when we seek Him, then He is able to accomplish His eternal purposes in ways that would not be accomplished otherwise. And so we need to be remain encouraged. Whatever we're going through, just realize that if we got our focus on Jesus and He's accomplishing what He wants to do through us, and it will count for eternity. Let's lift this up to God in prayer. Well, Father, we do just thank You and praise You for what all You do and for who You are. And it's a wonderful thing for us to be able to come to know You better. And that is all because Jesus, as we learn in the book of Hebrews, You opened the way for us to be able to come boldly into our Father's presence. And it is just a marvelous thing what You did. It is incredible to think that You, who were God and answer to no one, were willing to come down here and submit Yourself the way You did. And as I was thinking about this, I realized that, you know, people think that they got to have things in this world. Well, the amazing thing was when you went to the cross, the only thing you had was a gown and nothing else in this world. And you gave everything for us, and now we need to give you our all. So we just come to worship you and to praise you here today and continue to seek your help as we worship more together. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I guess who's doing communion? Oh, Kathy, okay. I didn't know, but you can come on up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I got to raise this up. Okay. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, so thankful for you, for Lord Jesus, and for your word. So, Lord, let your word speak to us today, Lord. Help us to hear what you have to say, God. Because what you have to say is what matters most. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so I'm going to be reading in Luke. So if you want to open up your Bibles to follow along, I'm going to be reading there for a little while. So I'm going to start in chapter 22. And these scriptures is going to explain and really tell us exactly what we're getting ready to do here. Now the feast of the unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they may put him to death. And they were afraid of the people. And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12. And he went away and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he may betray him to them. And they were glad, and they agreed to give him money. And he consented and began seeking a good opportunity to betray him to them apart from the multitude. Then came the first day of the unleavened bread, which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." And they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters, and you shall say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large furnished upper room. Prepare it there." And they departed and found everything just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never eat again it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which I am given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with me on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who was going to do this thing. And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. And he said to them, The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. But let him who is the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. And you are those who have stood by me in my trials. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned around, strengthen your brothers. And he said to him, Lord, with you I am ready to go to both prison and to death. And he said, I say to you, Peter, the cock will not crow today until you have denied me three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you out without purse and bag and sandals, you did not lack anything, did you? And they said, no, nothing. And he said to them, but now let him who has a purse take it along, likewise also a bag. And let him who has no sword sell his robe and buy one. For I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with transgressors, for that which refers to me has its fulfillment. And they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. And he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples also followed him. And when he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. While he was still speaking, behold, a multitude came. And the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them. And he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? And when those who were around him saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the swords? And a certain one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, stop, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and the elders who had come against him, have you come out with swords and clubs against us as a robber? While I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this hour and the power of darkness are yours. And having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance. And after they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, this man was with him too. But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, another saw him and said, "You are one of them too." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, a cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord and how he had told them, "Before a cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. When we're reading these scriptures, and I would like to go all the way through to 23. I really would. I know my time is limited, and I want to respect the time that we have here. So I'm going to do that. But when we look at this, we can see all the way through to when Jesus got on the cross. Certain people were involved. We see the disciples were there. The disciples, right after Jesus told them about his blood being is going to be shed for the new covenant, they immediately started talking about who's going to be the greatest. And then, of course, Peter says he would never deny Jesus, but he denied him three times. And then we have, and when you read on, I encourage you to read the rest of this. You have the teachers of the law, the religious leaders, who came in the garden, had Jesus arrested. Now, these are the religious leaders. And this is the Son of God. And then you have Pilate, who gives in to the people and has him crucified. So I want to ask you, what compels you? What motivates you? What controls you? Is it greed? Is it fear? Is it wanting to be recognized? I mean, the Pharisees, they wanted to be recognized. They didn't want no one taking their power, their position. Even the disciples at one point wanted to be the greatest and wanted to sit at Jesus' side, which, of course, we all want to be by Jesus. There's another scripture I want to read, and that's 2 Corinthians 5, if you want to go there. And I'm going to start in verse 14. It says, "For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." If anything else, if you're a follower of Christ, you belong to him. He has bought you with a high price, the blood, his very blood. If anything else compels you, controls you, or motivates you, other than the love of Christ, repent. Confess it to God. If we have the Spirit of God in us, Jesus Christ, he is going to motivate us with love, his love. What does that look like? It looks like you will lay down your life for others. You will become a servant. You will love your enemies and pray for them who persecute you. We will be like Jesus. We won't be thinking about ourselves and what we want, what we need to do. Believe me, God says he takes care of all of our needs, and he will do that. But it will be the love of Christ that compels us. Let's turn to Jesus. What compelled him and motivated him to go to the cross? He knew no sin. He never sinned. He never did any wrong. Yet, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It was the love of God and the love of Christ that motivated him to go to the cross. There is nothing greater. Nothing greater than love. And his love, if we have him, is going to motivate us and move us to live for him who died for us. If I could go ahead and have the ushers come up. If you would hold the elements, we'll take them together this morning. As they're passing these out, I want to say a few more things. One is that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Fear is often what motivates us. Fear is often what controls us. Fear is a thing that actually started in the garden after sin. But God does not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I would ask you to really seek God on that. If there is fear in your life, if there is, the Word of God tells us that perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love. If we become perfected in his love, and his love is what is controlling us, we have nothing to fear. God is with us. Amen. Amen. And I also ask, before you take the communion, if there's any sin or anything in your life, confess it. Examine yourself. This is a serious thing. This is what our Lord and Savior did for us. And he did it for our sin, so we will not continue in it. So as I had read earlier, Jesus was sitting around with his disciples, and he took the bread, and he broke it. The reason why he broke it is, had it broken, is because he was letting them know, my body is going to be broken for you. And he said, take and eat. So let's eat. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we will be a living sacrifice for you. And then he took the cup and he said that this will be the blood of the new covenant, his blood that will be shed for us and put out on the mercy seat in heaven, that we can go into the Holy of Holies. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, take and drink. Do this in remembrance of me. And Lord God, and Lord Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit empowers us. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your love. Let your love motivate us, that we too will be a drink offering for you. Love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kathy. I think my mic is too high. Well, praise God for your message there, and what a great thing it is to really meditate upon these things and realize what Jesus was doing and is doing. Now, one of the things that just really had an impact on me was when I studied the book of Hebrews closely and realized that that book is about Jesus being our eternal high priest and what he did for us and continues to do for us. So what a tremendous blessing. This morning as we're receiving the offering, Sandy has a friend who lives in Texas, and her name is Gloria. Is that right? Sandy, was that right? Sister-in-law, okay. I should have written this down. But anyway, she needs some help with some things financially. So if you are able to give, I know you may not be prepared this morning, but you can get it later and then we'll get it to them. Another thing is, of course, we have a nice facility here, but it requires maintenance. And we just had our 7 air conditioner furnaces serviced, and there were some things that had to be repaired, so it was almost $1,700 worth of repair. So if you have places where you're given extra money, then you can contribute to that. That would be a tremendous blessing. But in any case, it's amazing how God has always provided, and what a wonderful thing He does for us, and I just praise Him. So as the ushers come, we'll receive our offering here this morning, and let me just praise God. Father, we thank you and praise you for all that you provide and for the way that if we keep you in the first place in our lives, then you take care of the other things for us. And we just want to keep our focus on you as being the most important person we can have a relationship with. So we just praise you for this and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And when we had to have a baptism today, I mentioned it to Eliseo, pastor of our Spanish fellowship, and they're going to have a baptism this afternoon too. So praise God for that. And we just are so thankful for the way the Lord works. If you didn't get a bulletin, just raise your hand. We'll get one to you. Anyway, there are things in here that you need to maybe take a note of, particularly this afternoon. We'll be meeting here at 3 o'clock for prayer. The reason is because we have an individual who's going to shampoo our carpet, and we have to move all these chairs out. So when the Spanish Fellowship's over about 2:30, we will come here and help move these chairs. So if you can come and help, that'd be fine. But anyway, we haven't had this carpet shampooed for a long time. It needs it. So anyhow, we praise God for how He works through those things. Is there anything else we need to mention here this morning before we go on to the preaching? All right. Well, I just want to, I guess the one thing we didn't mention, but just continue to keep praying that the facility that will allow them to worship at the same time we worship gets built. And we're waiting for the permits to be issued, and it's just been a ridiculous length of time. But, you know, God is working in these things, and He's doing things that we don't understand, even in the midst of it. But He also works through the difficulties of this life, and we praise Him for that. All right. I don't think we have any children here today, which is unusual. But anyhow, we're going to go on to the sermon. I just praise God for the way He works in all circumstances. And, you know, there's no question that the Holy Spirit is guiding us, because it's amazing what has been shared here this morning and how my sermon goes right along with it. So what an incredible thing. We're in the book of Timothy, in the first book. And in our last message, Paul told us that the Holy Spirit clearly says that in these later times, people will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And, of course, we are certainly seeing that fulfilled in our time, aren't we? Paul says the way to combat this is to keep our focus on godliness so that we will be living by the truth. And one thing, I'm going to be talking about this later, but I appreciate what Kathy did there. He told Timothy, and giving him this instruction, we'll see that today, is have a lot of public reading of Scripture. And that is important, because the truth is that the Spirit teaches us things. So anyway, if we're doing these things, then we'll be the light of Christ in this world. And we can do that because we keep our focus on Him and follow Him in how He is leading us. So my title today is Be Diligent to Set the Right Example, which is right out of our text that we're going to read right now. And so let's read it. I guess I should turn that on if I want it to work. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. That's 1 Timothy 4:11-16. And, of course, this passage is a conclusion of what he said in the first 10 verses that we read last week. And so I'm not taking time to give that context here today, but it is important to know that so that we get a better grasp of what Paul is going on ahead to say to Timothy. So this is where I start. Command and teach these things. That's what Paul told Timothy. Well, this statement means that we are to be bold, to stand for the truth, and to teach it to others. And that's what we've heard here already this morning, to be bold, to realize that God empowers us. And that is precisely what the first disciples did when they started following Jesus, when the gospel was announced, which that was done on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. And here is an example of what happened after that time. It says, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is the resurrection from the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it, so the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. I always find it interesting they only counted the men. That was the culture. But obviously, there had to be at least 10,000 probably, with kids and wives, and a lot of them being married. Amazing how quickly this had happened. Of course, on the day of Pentecost, over 3,000 people accepted the Lord, so it is growing. Now, the next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, "By what power or in whose name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, Are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the Scriptures, where it says, "The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone." That is a scripture in Psalms 118, verse 22, that Peter quoted. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. "What should we do with these men?" they asked each other. "We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again." So they called the apostles back and commanded them never again to speak in or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. Acts 4, 1 through 22. Now, I am always astounded by people who want to propagate atheism. And there are those who actually write books and preach their message. It is incredible. You know, it's like, if there is no God, why do you care? You know, what is it you're trying to accomplish anyway? You know, you're trying to get disciples that way. It doesn't work. But it just shows you just how powerful evil can be and why it's necessary for Jesus to be able to take that power away. And he's the only one that can do it. And so what a wonderful story. What an amazing example and testimony. And I just want to thank God for Luke, who wrote that book. And, of course, the Holy Spirit was guiding all that. So this is such a powerful example of how we need to be bold for the gospel. They were respectful to the leaders. They didn't get angry with them, but they simply said what they had to do. It is both important and right to teach the truth of Scripture, even when it may offend someone. And we're living in a time of great immorality in all kinds of ways. And in many cases, it is being advanced with violence. I mean, we're seeing that in our country. It's incredible how much of that has gone on and still going on. But we're called to live in peace, so we must do good in everything and not respond the way they did and would. This is what Jesus himself taught. It's amazing how what he said, and I wanted to share this verse. This is also from the book of Luke. Jesus said, "If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners, expecting a full return. So love your enemies and do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. And you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for even He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate." Luke 6, 32 through 36. What a marvelous scripture. What a marvelous witness Jesus had. And it is incredible how powerful his witness was. Also, when the prophet Micah wrote about things, this very point, he stated that God is not impressed with our religious actions, but instead he wants us to do what is right. And it's amazing how people get this so distorted. And this has also been shared already here this morning, that point. But here's what Micah said. With what shall I come before Yahweh and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal one, what is good. And what does Yahweh require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6, 6 through 8. Now, I just want to emphasize, it's not that God didn't expect them to do the sacrifices, but they were doing that in order to prepare the way for when Jesus came, who would actually be the true sacrifice. And so they were giving that testimony. But God wasn't having them do that so they could make him happy. That wasn't the point of it. And the only way that God gets happy is when we devote ourselves to him, and that's what he's saying here. What a great testimony. And what a wonderful thing that God is opening the way for us to be able to have this great relationship. And all that happened because of Jesus, what he did at the cross, making it possible for us to be clothed with his righteousness. Now, obviously we're focused on physical clothing, maybe too much. But the reality is that the only clothing that really makes a difference for eternity is the righteousness that Jesus gives us, being clothed with his righteousness. So, Paul goes on to tell Timothy that in commanding and teaching these things, that they need to be faithful to live out that life. And that's my next point. Set the right example. You know, it's so easy to say things and not so easy to do them. That is why Jesus gave this admonition in his Sermon on the Mount when he said this. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Matthew 5, 33 through 37. Now, I have to make a side point here because you may have known, I've known some people who would not take an oath because of this scripture. That is not what is being said here. What he is saying simply is you should not be compelled to do what you said you were going to do because you made an oath. You should be compelled to do what you say you're going to do because that's the right thing to do. It's the honest thing to do. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. That's what Jesus is saying here. James also repeated this in his letter when he said, but above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. James 5:12. You see, what some people do is they say, well, you know, I don't have to keep my word because I didn't swear I would do it. No, no. That's the very opposite thing that James is saying here and Jesus is saying. That's why we need to simply do what is right. When we set that kind of example, then we will be living a life in love, in faith, and in purity, like Paul told Timothy. And when we're living like this every day, then we're being true to the faith we profess. A true witness in the kingdom of God. You know, when Paul said to Timothy to set an example of purity, that word in the Greek actually means moral purity. Boy, that's a challenge today, isn't it? It's incredible how, and you know, I mean, I watch movies. I like movies. But there's some movies I won't watch. I've actually refused to watch R-rated movies now. Even though there's some that are not terrible in that regard, it's because of the violence in there. And if it's telling a true story, that can make a difference. But the reality is that the way Hollywood has dominated these things is it's, you know, it's like all kinds of immorality throughout their discourse. It's like it doesn't matter. You know, you just do what you got to do. Well, no, that's not the way it works. We certainly need to make sure that we are standing for what's right, so that our example is a witness and a testimony. As I've said, we can say things, but that doesn't always have an impact, but our life can. You know, here's what Jesus said again in his Sermon on the Mount. The reason we call it a Sermon on the Mount is because he went up on the mountainside and taught. And that's Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And it's quite a discourse, and we're probably familiar with a lot of it. I know you're familiar with this probably. But one day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. And I find that fascinating. He sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need of him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Matthew 5, 1 through 16. Now, the thing that's so great about that verse, I know it's probably quoted in many different ways because of the different translations, but it is what we call the Beatitudes. And sometimes we think, well, that really isn't true. I mean, I've done that and it hadn't worked out for me. I've had at least two people say to me that I'm no longer going to do what God wants me to do because he didn't keep his promise. Well, you know what the problem is? We're looking for that promise to be fulfilled in an earthly way, down here. He's not talking about that. He's talking about what's going to happen for us in eternity. I mean, you know, here's the thing. One day we're going to die. So far, everyone who's ever lived on this earth has died. And you know where they go? They go to stand before God for judgment. And then they're going to hear these words, either, "Depart from me, for I never knew you," or, "Enter into the joy of my Lord." And the key is here, Jesus said this in this same Sermon on the Mount, the key is, does he know you? See, that's the thing you need to know. You need to know that he knows you and that you know him. Because if that's the case, then our fate is sealed for eternity. And that's the incredible thing, you know. We need to realize that there will be a time when we're going to face God, and then we're going to hear whatever his decision is based on what decision we have made. Well, as I read that and I thought about it, I know there are a dozen lessons from that scripture that we could learn and talk about. But the truth is that we will spend our life, if we're focused on those things, in order to accomplish that. Because our focus needs to be on fulfilling what he wants us to do. Doing it. Not just talking about it, but doing it. It's one thing, of course, for us to talk. We need to do that. But we need to also be recognize that we need to be fulfilling his purpose. You know, Before Jesus ascended into heaven, here's the last thing he did for his disciples. The 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told the disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples." That's the first point. Make disciples. A disciple is one who does what the leader, which is Jesus, wants them to do. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28:16-20. Jesus is always with us. You know, I know it's been tough for my wife. You know, she has lived with this disability for over 35 years. There have been times where, like Tom was talking about, she'll collapse. She doesn't even have the strength to do anything, even to stand up. And in fact, one year, it's been a while back, some of you know, she actually ended up breaking her ankle and was disabled for almost a year with that situation. But the key is she's not focused on this life. It's tough. I mean, it's not good when you only get 2 or 3 hours of sleep a night and deal with everything else. It becomes very discouraging. And I'm only sharing this not because I need your sympathy, but just because I understand this. And that's the key. We need to recognize that our focus is not simply on this life. We're here in order to be the light of the world. We're here in order to be the witness to what Jesus wants us to do. And that last statement he made, Jesus promises always to be with us. You know, we need to come to know the reality of that. We really need to know that Jesus is with us. You know, I watch some things and hear people talk, and they'll talk about, you know, how, you know, they don't have, or they're angry with God or whatever. You know, if you have a relationship with Jesus, which I had at a very young age, I never get angry with God because I know what I deserve. No, my problem is I'm trying to keep him from being too angry with me, you know, because I know what the consequences of that will be. And the way we do that is we keep our focus on him. And you know what helps us in this is to realize that there will be a time when this life will not even compare to what we're going to have when we get to be with him. This is one of my favorite scriptures on that point, and I've shared it a number of times, but I keep doing it because this is so important. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, when I hear Paul say that. You know, for Paul to say that in this book, which later he talks about all the things that happened to him, go read chapter 11 and then compare your life to that. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. What a wonderful promise and a great guarantee for our future. And what a tremendous benefit this is for us. And so my third and final point is, be diligent in all these things. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. He's telling us that too. We need to keep our focus on these things every day. Paul told Timothy not to neglect the gift that the Holy Spirit had given him when they laid hands on him. It's interesting. We're not told what gift that was. I mean, it's probably his ministry, maybe being called to be an evangelist. But he didn't say what the gift was. But what a great message for us, too. We need to keep our focus on the reality of the gift God has given us so that we're making sure we're using it for his eternal purposes. And we've each received a gift from the Holy Spirit. We need to be diligent in fulfilling what he has given us. When we do this, we can live victoriously in all of our circumstances. Another point Paul made was to be diligent in the public reading of Scripture. He said that. Read Scripture publicly. You know, I have to say this. I understand about public speaking, and I could spend time looking up illustrations, which they're helpful. I mean, some people are just gifted that way. It's not really my gift, but you know what? I'd rather spend my time looking at the scriptures and trying to find out what God might be saying this. And I want to cross-reference it with other scriptures. And I have a great tool that helps me do that. And one of the reasons that I can look these things up is because I remember. See, I don't remember where scriptures are, but I remember what they say. And all I have to do is look up a word or two, and I can find a list of scriptures. My Logos Bible software program. It's incredible what that program will do and how it opens up the scriptures to us. And that is why it is so important that we understand that we need to keep our focus on this so that we can be living the way the Holy Spirit wants us to live. Anyway, the point that Paul is making here is for us to recognize that Scripture is alive and living, and it's like life to us. That's exactly what the Hebrew writer told us in these verses. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 4:12-16. You know, that's an incredible truth. And I just want to say, if you struggle with depression or other emotional issues, or you've got things in your life that they're a problem, well, who doesn't have that, huh? We need to recognize it because sin is a problem and we're all encompassed with sin. We just have to, as was shared in our communion meditation, is go to Jesus and look to Him. And you know what repentance is? It means to turn away from that and turn to Jesus. The biggest problem people mistake is they think, well, how am I going to deal with this? And we start focusing on the sin. You know what I've found with that? Makes it worse. Doesn't help anything. What we need to do is get our focus back on Jesus and His Word, because it's alive and living. And Jesus as our high priest will guide us by the indwelling presence of His Holy Spirit. So we continually need to seek to be filled with Him so that we have the confidence that we need and we're able to follow the leading and empowering that the Spirit gives us. And when we do this, then we are fulfilling God's eternal purposes for us. And if we are continually meditating and reading Scripture, then we will be on the right path. That's important, as much as we can. You know, one of my favorite scriptures along this line is Psalms 119. Now, you may know Psalms 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, has 176 verses. Take you a little while to read a chapter. You know, when I was challenged by a guy to read 5 chapters a day of the book of Psalms, well, when you get to something like that, you can't really, I mean, it's going to be a while reading 5 chapters if you're going to do that. It's almost too much. Anyway, that's aside. But here, let me share these with you. This is one of the things, and I was thinking about this particular point. I thought of this. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of Yahweh. Joyful are those who obey His laws and search for Him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in His paths. You have charged us to keep Your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect Your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with Your commands, as I learn Your righteous regulations. I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. That's the first 8 verses of 119. And then I continue with some more. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I gave an account of my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Help me to understand the meaning of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, Yahweh. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. Teach me, Yahweh, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. What a reading. Psalm 119, 25 through 40. And by the way, if you may be hearing this for the first time, but the word Yahweh is actually the name of God, and I like to emphasize that because most translations simply capitalize the word Lord, L-O-R-D, all capital letters, because they recognize that in the original, but they didn't translate it that way. And it's unfortunate. I have one Bible translation that actually uses Yahweh every time that occurs. And I do too, because I just think it's the right thing to do. Anyway, enough on that. The other thing is that one line there where he said, I'm going to meditate upon your wonderful deeds. And this is another incredible thing. What God has done in this creation is just incredible. I mean, the more man studies this creation, he marvels at it. And yet, there are those who think, well, it just happened, you know, and somehow just got started. And they don't have any idea how that would happen, because you can't get something started without somebody starting it. And the only way somebody could start it is they'd have to be here. And how could they be here if they didn't get started? That's our God. What an amazing thing. Well, when we stay focused on God's word, it will help us to be diligent in following him in all the ways of our life. You see, each of us have different abilities, and we have different callings in how we are to carry out God's mission. And we each live in different places. We have different neighbors, but we need to set an example for them. And we need to realize that we go to different places. Maybe it's work, maybe it's other things, but we need to make sure the light of Christ is shining through us. I just have a couple of more scriptures I want to read from Psalms 119 here. This one here, Yahweh, give me your unfailing love, the salvation that you promised me. Then I can answer those who taunt me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch your word of truth from me, for your regulations are my only hope. I will keep on obeying your instructions forever and ever. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. I will speak to kings about your laws, and I will not be ashamed. How I delight in your commands, how I love them. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees. That's verses 41 through 48. You know what the amazing thing is about this particular scripture? We don't know who wrote it. Could have been David, but we don't know. We're not told. There's no record of who wrote this. What an amazing scripture. So anyway, in wrapping all this up, if we follow Paul's instructions, which he gave to Timothy, and we diligently strive to set the right example according to God's word, then we will be faithful to love the way God loves and to be true to him. And we receive that ability from Jesus Christ, our eternal high priest, because when we do that, we have received the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to be able to live this life the way He wants us to. And so, when we're doing that, it helps us to watch our life and doctrine closely. And so I'm going to close with this last reading from Psalm 119. Remember your promise to me. It is my only hope. Your promise revives me. It comforts me in all my troubles. The proud hold me in utter contempt, but I do not turn away from your instructions. I meditate on your age-old regulations. O Yahweh, they comfort me. I become angry with the wicked because they reject your instructions. Your decrees have been the theme of my songs wherever I have lived. I reflect at night on who you are, O Yahweh. Therefore, I obey your instructions. This is how I spend my life, obeying your commands. Psalm 119, 49 through 56. You know, when I read this, I just have to add this as my final thought here with this. When I read this, I think about how, you know, Jesus fulfilled a lot of these things. We're no longer having to keep the Sabbath or a lot of the other ceremonial regulations because Jesus fulfilled those. But he didn't know Jesus yet. And he's devoted to the God, which, by the way, I think Yahweh is Jesus, but it's also the Father because they are one. And you could say that's the Holy Spirit, too. He's the only one that doesn't really have a name, just called the Holy Spirit. But they are three in one, and we know that's true because of what the Scriptures say. And the reality is that when we realize this and we realize how God is working His plan out in us, then we can fulfill His purpose. One last thing, and I'm going to quit with this. He said He was angry with the wicked. Well, there is a scripture in Ephesians 4:26 that says we are to be angry but not sin. So there is a righteous anger. And we need to be righteously angry against the wickedness that is being promoted. I mean, one of the things that I find to be so horrible is the reality of how this nation of ours was founded upon godly principles. When you read what the original founders of this nation said and what they stood for, even a guy like Thomas Jefferson, who was an agnostic, he didn't not believe in God, but he didn't really believe in God, but he still said some pretty phenomenal things that helped establish this nation as one that was going to be subservient to God. And all that began to change when the atheists came along and began to add their idiocy. And all through the 20th century to the point where we are today. But don't let that deter us, folks, because we, if we know Jesus, we know the true God, and we can stay focused on the truth. And remember, it will be God's judgment that deals with it all one day. Thank you, and Craig, you can come and dismiss us with prayer here. By the way, remember, if you can be here tonight, we'll be helping move chairs. 2:30, not tonight.
You know, we live in a wilderness out there full of all kinds of things. But as God delivered the Israelites, or wanted to deliver them from the wilderness and put them in the promised land, the promise that God has given us is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it would behoove us to look at the Scriptures, meditate on the Scriptures, live by the Scriptures, and call on the Lord and be in fellowship with one another. It's people you haven't seen this week. And, you know, Tom came this morning and I missed his talk because he missed his medicine. I went to go pick up his medicine. And when I came back, he was leaving because he couldn't stay longer. So, but anyway, I know it was good to hear from him. I know I've been talking with him and he's always wanting to come up and give his testimony. And even this morning, he wasn't even going to come. And then it was just a surprise that he came. So we want to praise God. Because those who struggle, like Pastor said, Janet and Tom and John and Pat and Jeannie with a vertigo, and there are countless others here in the congregation that, you know, are here, you know, some days and not others, but yet they want to be here, but yet they just can't. And so I just want you and I just want us to pray for, continue praying for them each and every day, that God will deliver them, that they would be that light in their struggles.
I did forget to mention that John is here. He was in the hospital.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I see him. Yeah. And so anyway, we just want to praise God for what he is doing. Yeah, it looks like, you know, God can do a great and mighty work through a little bit of people. We say, well, we don't have very many people here. I mean, we have more than what we have here today. But, you know, what did he do with Caleb? He had to bring him down to 400 men against 10. Gideon, thank you. I always keep doing that for some reason. I know it's always Gideon, but thank you. I have my wife here to help me, you know. So anyway, Gideon, and all he did was be obedient to God by putting, you know, light in a glass jar, blew a horn, and then broke it, and then the people killed themselves. They didn't have to do anything. But you say, that is really stupid. So what if God called you to do something that is like, what? That don't make sense. But does it have to make sense? All we have to do is be obedient. And so I want to encourage you this morning is to go out there this week and be obedient and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just to remind you about Wednesday night Bible study, we're in Exodus, which is a great, great scriptures to read. I mean, just all, Jesus is in that all over the place. And then our troubles are in there too, and we can see how we can get over those troubles by focusing our lives on Jesus Christ. With that, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your mercy and grace and loving kindness. And Lord, I thank you for the visitors that came today. I pray that you would bless Jim and Joanna, Lord, that you would give them strength and peace and comfort, Father, this week. And I just thank you for the body of Christ, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to build up and encourage one another and walk beside one another when we aren't doing so well, Lord. And Father, I just thank you and praise you, Father, for those who continue to be faithful, Father, even in their struggles, Father. And we thank you, Lord, and praise you. And Lord, I just ask, oh God, that you would open up our hearts, Father, and minds to further hear what the Spirit has to say to us, oh Lord, so that we can go out with joy and be led forth with peace. In Jesus' name, amen.